Hi, this is Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church, and I am really glad this message has found you. You know, I believe that God gives us each day our daily bread, that He really cares about us, and He has attention to detail, the detail of your life and what really matters and what counts right now. You know, I believe that as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something, some truth from the Word of God, something that causes you to draw closer to Jesus, and then in that, finding and discovering all the plan and purpose that He has for you. I want to encourage you as you listen to this message to let the Lord minister to you because He has something great for you today. God bless you as you hear His word.
Father, we thank You this morning for Your faithfulness and Your mercy and Your goodness. I pray a mighty outpouring of Your strength on every heart in this place. I pray You give strength to those who are fatigued, wisdom to those making decisions, encouragement to those who've been beaten down, support to those who feel like they have none, repentance to those who have been caught up in trouble, and deliverance for those who have been in patterns and cycles that you and they don't want to be in. Lord, Your strength and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the vicious circle of sin and death. Only the blood of Jesus can cancel out our debts that's resulted from our sin. And only Your strength can stabilize us. You are the healer. Doctors help and aid the process, but You are the Lord that heals us. We look to You as our healer. We look to You as our counselor. We look to You as our comforter. I do pray for people whose hearts are heavy today, God, that they would be encouraged and helped in a supernatural level. They get out of the pit. They get back into the sunny side of things. I pray You'd use me to minister a good word today that would help people. I pray You'd help me to preach faithfully as a pastor and a shepherd and do a good job of ministering clarity to these hearts. That we would grow a little bit and press on and be doers of Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, get your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 6. And continuing on the subject of continually, while you're turning there, we'll also go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. 2 Peter 3, the last two verses of Peter's epistle, I'm talking about the preciousness of patience, continuing in patience. The Bible said, in patience possess your souls. It says, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. It says, by your endurance you will gain your lives. We're to rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. God's called us to endure. He said, not to cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. He said, you have need of endurance so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And in James 1:4, it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking in nothing. I propose to you that patience is a characteristic of God. It's a virtue of the new birth. You may have been an impatient person, a compulsive person, a manipulative person, but now in Christ, you are standing in a position where you have been equipped to be a good waiter, but also a person that during the waiting period learns how to persevere and be active and take action. We're going to talk a little bit about this today. Start with 2 Peter 17 and 18. It says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. Now this is talking about the importance of us not letting deceivers knock us off our course. And in this case, it says, fall from your own steadfastness. Interesting. Steadfastness is a biblical word, which means patient endurance. It means fortitude. It means perseverance. And this is saying, in Peter's last statement in this epistle, he's saying, don't let anybody knock you off of your stand of endurance and steadfastness. In fact, he says, guard against it. And then he says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So what we see here is a call by the Apostle Peter to stand and stay vigilant in our steadfastness. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, The Bible says in another verse, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Steadfastness, endurance, perseverance are hallmarks of the kingdom. I'll say this, if we'll endure and if we'll walk in patience, we'll see results. If we step off and veer to the side, we'll also see results. But those results are grim. God has called us to this life of endurance and perseverance and steadfastness. So it says here in Hebrews chapter 6, it says in verse 11, "For we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish," and this is the important part, "but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now I want to turn that into a confession. Hebrews 6:12, let's say it. It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Now let's say it all together. It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. See, we see that it's through faith, but it's also through patience. We're to let patience have her perfect work. What is patience? Patience is bearing or enduring pain, difficulty, provocation, or annoyance with calmness. It's overcoming delay without complaint. It's the ability to wait with a confidence no matter what comes your way to keep hold of the promise of God. We remember Abraham. God had given him a promise. In fact, it says right here in this context that he had a promise. I'm going to bless you and multiply you. And then in verse 15, it says, "So having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." He didn't just idly step back, and we must not confuse patience with procrastination or laziness. The real definition of patience in these verses is he held to the promise of God. In Romans chapter 4, Abraham learned some things about God, and it says in verse 17, 18, 19, 20, God called him to certain things. He had to fight through the inevitable challenges and battles. And it says that he said in verse 17, "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist." We serve a God who called into being something that did not exist. Another verse says that everything we see is it comes from the invisible. The invisible yet real God operates this way. He gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. And Abraham, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, "So shall your descendants be." He believed that he might become the father of many nations. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Here's the real essence of these verses. Abraham had a call to be the father at a time when he was past childbearing years, along with his wife Sarah. It's an amazing example. In fact, he's the father of our faith. And what did he find? He found that he could trust God and believe God. It was not just going to happen overnight, though. It was through faith and patience. So we have to see from these verses, there's a battle in between the initiation and the fulfillment of a plan. Did you guys know that? Well, you need me to remind you of it, because that you have need of patience so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And patience gets sorely tested. The trying of your faith is precious, though. And as we learn to lay hold of the promises of God, no matter what, come what may, and we stay the course on this thing, we're going to bring pleasure to the Lord. In fact, it says over in Hebrews chapter 10, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. I've already read part of it, "Not to cast away your confidence, which has great reward." But I want to show you this last part. It says in verse 39, "We are not of those who shrink back to destruction." We are not of those who back off and quit. That is not our DNA. God has created in us a fortitude and a patience. In fact, It says in Exodus that God is patient and long-suffering. It says in Romans that we're not to treat lightly the patience and the forbearance and the mercy of God. He's merciful. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. He is patient toward us. God has that attribute in His character. That's why we see that we have not been nuked in our journey in life. How many of you are glad God's been patient with you? Well, we need to be patient with life. God's called us. He's set this example, and He wants us to take hold of these promises and then walk in patience. Patience, listen, if you go to James, this is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time. Since we're so close, Hebrews, you just flip right over to James chapter 5, and we're going to review this segment here about Job. Everybody say, patience is precious. It is a treasure. God has called all of us to develop, grow, and cultivate the ability to endure, the ability to bear up, the ability to zip our lip when we feel like complaining, the ability to stay with it when we feel like quitting, the ability to hold to a promise when everything looks the opposite. You know where it said Abraham hoped against hope? There was no hope. It was hopeless. And he maintained Bible hope when everything looked crazy. He would look in the mirror and contemplate his own body and say, man, I'm as good as dead. And he'd say, you know, with Sarah, this is way beyond the range of natural provision. But God is supernatural. He is going to have His final say. And when you understand how faithful God is, it'll help you to endure, to persevere, to overcome. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. How long are you supposed to be patient? Till Jesus comes back. You know what that means? All the way to the end. We are to live a life of faith and patience. We know faith pleases God. Patience obtains promises. Listen, it says, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and of patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. These verses are powerful. I pray you could absorb what I'm about to share with you, because what this is saying is, be patient. Notice that the prophets, they had to maintain patience. Notice Job, he had to endure. Look at the patience of Job, how he endured so much trial and challenge. And then look at the outcome of the Lord's dealing. How at the end of Job's life, God restored his fortunes twofold. God blessed him and brought provision to him. He was able to say, I know that he could do all things and that no plan of his can be thwarted. That, my friends, is a life of faith. God's called us to carry that, live in it, operate in it, recognizing, man, you know what? God is faithful, and I'm going to trust Him in this situation. Who in here has ever been tested in this area? Let me see a show of hands. That would be all of us. What is it that you're dealing with right now that you're believing God for? Man, I know it's contested. I can feel it right now. There's some of you that are in the hot coals of the fire of it. And I just want to encourage you not to cast away your confidence. Not to throw it away. Just keep. Don't let people, the error of unprincipled men, sway you or get you to fall from your steadfastness. Man, don't let stuff creep into your life that would sap your strength or draw away your confidence. Listen, Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Messiah that came to fulfill the prophecies. He's risen from the dead. He never sinned. He led a sinless, pure life. He performed miracles. He rose from the dead on the third day. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is coming back, people. And He's coming back to a church that's robust and filled with power. I mean, right now, I'm thinking about what God's doing in Nigeria with 2 million people gathering at a time, church growing to such a point that governmental helicopters are flying in when they're having prayer meetings and they're saying, what's going on? It's like a national gathering. They're, wait, don't do this without telling us. They thought there was a coup attempt and it was just a prayer meeting. That's amazing. The nations are taking notice of what God, the kingdom of God is going to accelerate in our time. The purposes of God are going forth in power. The gates of hell can't prevail against what Jesus is building. But we must stand guard so that the error of unprincipled men will not sway us from our own steadfastness. See, we've got to guard against that. So, and we've also got to resist the temptation to quit. We've got to fight that, and we've got to get skilled in learning how to encourage one another as long as today is called today. That no one falls away. We've got to commit to it. Recently, I've noticed a couple new Christians, and I'm so inspired by their enthusiasm, and I watch them just pressing into God. But I've been almost scolding them. Listen, this is good. Stay with it. Be at it 25 years from now. Be at it when you're my age. Do not back off. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't shrink back. Don't just have a little blip on the screen. Stay with this thing to the end. God's pleased with people that persevere. And in fact, there's a reward if we don't shrink back and grow weary. Remember Frank Capra's movie, It's a Wonderful Life? I love that movie because he got really discouraged. And he lived in this Midwestern town, and he was doing life, and that Mr., what was that guy's name, the evil guy? Mr. Potter ripped him off and lied and all kinds of stuff, hid that deposit money and all that stuff. He said, oh, God, I just wish I was dead. You know, he was so depressed that he despaired of life. And then according to the story, you know, God sent an angel and showed him the way life would have been had he not obeyed and been on the track and stayed with it. And the town was crummy, and people were off track, and you know, the whole town was changed because one person throwing in the towel, becoming impatient, backing off. There's a book that one of the Ford girls told me about where, and there was a fictionalized book about they were walking through the path of time. And the characters in the book, they said, do not step off the path, because if you step off the path and you smash a plant or hurt an insect, it can alter the whole course of the rest of the future. They got to a point where they said, what happened? So who got off the path? And everybody said, nobody. We were all on the path. And then they said, let me look at your shoes. And there was one, they pulled up one guy's shoe and there was a smashed butterfly on the heel of his foot. And he had stepped off. He veered off the path. He got tempted and veered off. And it altered everything. Well, now that doesn't mean, now listen, those are fiction. So we don't need to get paranoid. But for the purposes of this message, let's get back to this. I think we must recognize the value of staying on the path and staying the course. I think we need to understand the hazards of veering off for a couple of reasons. God's soul has no pleasure in those who shrink back, but we are not of those who shrink back. We are of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And my proposal to you is this. God is patient. And when you're born of the Spirit, you receive a change on the inside of you that births love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering gets burnished down into your spirit. Where you may have been very impulsive, you change. This lady told me earlier in the service, she had given her heart to the Lord after Kent Cross died. She came back to the Lord in a real devotion. She said, all my friends see such a change in my life. I've changed. She just stood real tall and she said, my whole life has been changed. If anyone is in Christ, they become a new creation. I just read to you about somebody who's watching some TV spots, got inspired, came to church, heard the word, and got delivered from crack. Do you understand that you're addicted to crack after the first stupid usage? That it alters your brain chemistry and routes your neurotransmitters, and you got problems big time from then on? And that it's one of the most difficult drugs to shake? And to be free from crack for 9 months is huge. Crystal meth. There's a girl in here free from crystal meth for almost a year. There's a guy that kicked alcohol that I saw him when he was shaking. I think they call it the DTs of shaking and all pasty and all shaking. I want you to know this is my first day sober. I just wanted to commit that to you. I said, okay, you're in an environment of people who have won battles and are more than conquerors, who aren't going to judge you, who are going to stand with you. You're under the headship of a Savior who can sustain you through the most ridiculous challenges. We're going to hold you up. We're going to stand with you. We're going to believe God for you. He just told me that he had an estrangement from his daughter. He has a relationship with her now. He gets to hold the grandbaby he never got to see. His whole attitude is changing. His disposition toward people he's alienated and offended has started to turn around. There's healing that's coming. God is at work in your situation. The prodigal father let the son go, and it pained him to see him squander everything. But think of the joy when he saw him come back up on the horizon and come back to his senses and come back and get restored in fellowship. That's my God. Amen. It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. And I've noticed that in my, let's get it quick, impulsiveness of my personality early on, And also just thinking in an idealized way that, man, you know, 9-10 days, I'll tops, I'll have to wait, and God's going to just dump this on me from heaven. Some things do happen pretty quick. The other day I prayed about something in the field, and it happened right when I prayed it. That was cool. But that happens like every 20 to 30 years. What I love is seeing God's faithfulness come to pass through all the trials and all the challenges. And what I love is to see this bounce back ability on people who go through difficulties in relationships, troubles through finances, issues in jobs, struggles in the home, struggling with their child rearing, and all the different variety of things, the navigating through the bizarre mental bombardment you and I all face, and watching them land on their feet by the sustaining power of God. What I love to see is the fruit, and to see people press on past all the inevitable trials and see the fulfillment of the plan. What grieves me more than anything is see people veer off and walk away. It must grieve God's heart. Patience is such a vital key concept. Patience is the self-restraint that enables one to bear an insult or an injury without hasty retaliation. Right in the middle of these verses, and this is how I want to finish, it says, be patient. The farmer sows the seed, goes to bed at night, the crops grow, and so forth. Then it says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. He's basically saying, in this context of patience, we need to learn to be patient with one another. We need to learn to be patient and have self-restraint. Here's what Dr. David Burton said about this. He said, keep still when trouble is brewing. Keep still. When slander is getting on its legs, keep still. When your feelings are hurt, keep still till you recover from your excitement. Keep still. It's important that we watch through the trials. One of the greatest temptations that will come is the temptation to murmur, to get an unforgiveness, to get bitter. Why am I sprinkling this in my message? Because it's in what James wrote right here. I'm just quoting what he said in this context. God's called us to be patient and watch what we say. You know, yesterday I was in one of those occasions where Patsy and I were in the car. I was low. She was doing better. I started to voice some of my frustration. She got quiet and she began to encourage me. I could feel her faith. And now, she learned it from me because most of the time I'm the one that's the strong one. No. You ever been in a situation where you were so worn slick and it was just so easy just to roll that stuff right off your tongue and just get all upset? Well, this passage here, James is teaching the Christians that we're to be long-suffering in reference to hardships, in reference to people issues. He does not say that we are to be patient as in waiting listlessly doing nothing. Patience and procrastination are not the same. Many excuse their laziness with a false definition of patience. James is saying that we must be patient in not seeking retaliation or harboring resentment.
That's
hard. It is hard, man. But for the grace of God, we just flat out need God on this. I'm telling you, church, listen, we learn how to take a stand in this area. We learn how to win in these battles. We're on to something. If we can learn to bridle our tongue, we are able to control everything else as well. So I just want to encourage you, patience, while you're believing God for the promise of God to come to pass. There's nothing more strategic and sabotage terms than getting into murmuring between here and there. And when you get tempted in it, repent as fast as you can. Be patient in not seeking retaliation or harboring resentment. What does the Bible say we're supposed to do when people curse us? What are we supposed to do to those who despitefully use us? Pray for them. What did Jesus do when he was punched in the face? Did he revile in return? He even said, you know, I can call down a whole wagon load of big, giant angels, but I'm not going to do it. I mean, we need to learn this thing, and if we learn it, there's revival on the other side. If we learn it, there's harvest on the other side. If we learn it, there is breakthrough and joy and especially pleasing God on the other side. And you know what? More than global evangelism, more than promises being fulfilled in our personal lives, the big number one goal that I could see in the scriptures is as we conform to the image of Christ and grow up in all aspects in Him. And this is my Father glorified. He wants us to grow and mature. I like the aging process. I really do, because I want to grow up. So I have no obsession on youth. I am interested in growing up in all aspects in Him. And if it means aging and growing, I want to grow. And I want to grow up not just numerically and not just in gravitational pulling. I want to grow up in my inner man. I want to grow up in these patience areas. I want to obtain promises. There are things that are not yet fulfilled in my life. I'm believing God for them to come to pass. And as hot and as hard as the enemy has been bearing down, I just ask God to help me to press on past this thing and win the battles. You with me? And I pray that for you. Now the illustration, man, it's just the farmer, you know, he waits for the precious crops. He's patient. He sows the seed. He doesn't just sit there lazy, though. He tills the soil. He plants the seed, keeps his heart right, keeps the word forefront in his life, keeps the fields free from weeds. The germination of the seed starts to take place. The plants start to grow. And ultimately, the farmer knows. He goes to bed at night, doesn't know how the crops grow, though. There's a providential provision of God. And that's what we have to really take hold of today, is that God knows how to work everything together after the counsel of His own will. Come on. I mean, we've even had trouble with one of our children. And in the middle of it, the child spoke out and said, "Hey, God's going to work this out. Hey, God," it's almost like a prophecy. It's right in the middle of a trouble. And then, "Hey, you know, listen, God causes all things to work together for good. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God." It's an amazing thing. You just, well, you're the one that's challenging me the most. Now you're prophesying to me. Yeah, I've seen people with strong-willed kids, and I've watched the parents that kind of get smart. They go, "Those are budding leadership skills." It's true, too. It's true. You stick around long enough, you see some amazing things take place. You see apathy be replaced by enthusiasm. You see God's blessing come down on people that you just almost wanted to give up on. Don't give up. We're not of those who give up. That's what I tell these people when there's so much addiction going on in the world right now. And when people come to me, it's like I bear up on it. I say, "Look, I know God can help you through that. I don't relate to it on a personal level, but I know God's helped me in other areas of my life, and I know He's faithful, and you're in an environment where it's okay to have a problem. It's not okay to stay there, but we're going to stand with you. You hold your head high, you're first class. We're going to believe God, whatever the substance or the deal that's held hold in your life gets off of your life." Amen. Now, I'm believing God for the promises of God to come to pass in each one of your lives. Keep your eye on the reward. Trust God. I watched Walter Grayler. He's been farming down here for years. He just doesn't want to quit. He's in his 70s and he loves to farm. And he goes out and tills the soil for hours and hours and hours. And then he goes and plants the seed. And then he keeps his tools all ready and he gets ready for the harvest. And he waits and he watches the ground produce the crops. I've watched that in this church. I've watched that in my kids. I've watched that with so many lives in this place. I see this in these verses, God saying that the end of a matter is better than the beginning of a matter, that patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. It says, by your endurance and by your patience, you will gain your lives. Patience has a perfect work. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and late rains. I believe if we'll hold to trust in and rely on God through the course of our lives, we will see occasional victories, occasional reaping, occasional blasts of His plan and purpose. And I believe we'll have doors open that no man can shut. Yeah. It's for those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, wait a minute. There's a warning. If you cast away your confidence, if you shrink back, if you forfeit the prize veering off, it's a tragic consequence you don't want to experience. Stay on in trusting God in your situation with your kids. Believe God for laborers to cross their path. When you feel like you're at the end of your strength, trust God to take hold of those kids and give them sense. Amen. That was an amen from that baby. That's a voice from the youth. Believe God for our generation. I believe we're going to see such an amazing thing come out of this iPod MTV culture. We're going to see some of the greatest manifestation of bold, consecrated Christianity like we never even dreamt possible. We're going to see God move mightily on people. All right. Look at verse 8. This is the conclusion James is drawing in these verses. He says, look, he said, you too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. You know what? We need to strengthen our heart and not complain against one another. Do not blame your troubles on one another. That's what it says in verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another. Don't blame your troubles on other people. Don't envy other people when they're suffering less than you are.
So go ahead and share your little testimony about your big old breakthrough. Aren't you sweet?
Listen, don't envy people who are suffering less. God is working things together for our good. We know that God is working things together for our good because you can see it in the scriptures. It says, look, he said, look, you've heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. See, a lot of people go, my life is like Job. Now, you know what? Then take hold of it all the way to the end then, man. Take hold of it and believe God for such phenomenal breakthrough that you get to the other side of your troubles and you get really radical fulfillment of the promises of God. I mean, if you have kids, believe God your kids will be world changers and culture shapers. Believe God they'll succeed in major levels. You go to church, believe God your church is going to hit the mark in its particular designation and do the thing God's called it to do. You see, if you go to a church with 1,400 kids coming to Vacation Bible School, let's believe God for a multitude of them to have a real, genuine encounter with Jesus and have radical salvation, radical baptism of the Holy Spirit, moving out in the vibrancy of God. If I went to a church that had all the flags of the world up in the ceiling, I'd be believing God for the nations to be reached from that place. If I went to church with people that had bags under their eyes that were exhausted from the real bizarre challenges of life, I'd want to consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. If I saw people whose energies were flagging, I'd be trying to figure out how to have my speech seasoned with salt, that I may know how to minister a word to the weary and give confidence and hope in troubled times. If I was around newlyweds, I'd be believing God to help them to have their 65th anniversary. If I was around people that had diagnosis of sickness and disease in their body, I'd be digging deep to find verses to give them and prayer to pray with confidence to believe God for them to live out their days. Yeah. If I got around depressed people, I'd want to believe God to bring some joy into their life and help them not to be so doggone discouraged.
Yeah.
If I was a pastor of a church, I'd want to believe God that everything I did in the church would only encourage every other pastor in the city and never bring discouragement to them in any way, shape, or form. Never, ever hurt them in any way.
Yeah.
And through competition or anything like that. I just decided a long time ago I never wanted to partake of that kind of garbage.
That's right. It's up the devil.
And I want to believe God to see the promises come to pass.
Yeah.
Because God works things together for good, there is victory in patience. Patience has a perfect work. Patience isn't just, I'm just going to wait through life and float along and wait. No. We're trusting God for those doors to open, for the provision to be there, for the anointing to be there, for strength to be there. We're trusting God for a harvest of souls. I'm believing God for breakthrough in everybody's life in this place. It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Haughtiness of spirit is exalted on the media. The haughtier you are, the cockier you are, the cooler you apparently are by this world's terms. But in the kingdom, the resilient, enduring, patient soul brings honor and pleasure to God. In Aesop's fables, you know, it wasn't the rabbit with his, you know, running prowess. You know, the race didn't go to the swift of foot. But it went to this plodding personality. Aesop wrote about this tortoise that just didn't take breaks and quit and back off with false confidence and haughtiness. Just kept enduring. See, patience isn't just waiting around and looking at the clock. It's, I'm going to bear up between here and there, and I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to enjoy the journey. much as I can. I'm going to be a worshiper that worships God. I'm going to be a lover of people. I'm going to overcome all the inevitable, bizarre temptations to get hurt, to get bitter. Listen, I want to reread this because I think it's really important. David Burton said, keep still when trouble is brewing. Keep still. Remember the verse, be still and know that I'm God. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, if you get upset, count to 10. If you're really upset, count to 100. When slander is getting on its legs, keep still. When your feelings are hurt, keep still till you recover from your excitement. Keep still. Listen, we need to trust. We need to get patient. We need to wait. We need to walk away from a thing. We need to say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm going to trust God on this thing. God is going to see me through. I'm not going to forfeit my prize. I remember talking to a guy in my living room. He got mad. He said, I'm mad at God. I can't even relate to that. In 30 years plus years of being a Christian, I never have been mad at God. People have asked me, did you get mad at God when the flood hit? No. I'm not mad at God. Did you get mad at God when Kent died? No. I'm not mad at God. God is good. God is merciful and God is smart and God has everything figured out. I never get mad at God. I'm not mad at God. I'm not disappointed in God. I've never been disappointed in God. I'm disappointed with myself. I've been disappointed with the circumstances of a fallen world. I definitely don't like the devil. But with God, He's cool. His promises are yes and amen. He is absolutely magnificent. He's trustworthy. He's the fulfillment of promises. He gets a kick out of blessing His kids. He delights in the prosperity of His people. He daily loads us with benefits. He forgives us our sins. He's the one that's married to the backslider. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm not mad at God. God's good. People are weird. Well, you can look in the mirror and go, and I know one of the biggest ones. But God is so good. So God, bring it on. If you're patient, which I know you are, and if you've recreated my heart and you've cultivated in me a capacity to be patient, then strengthen my patience. Help me to endure. Help me to continue to trust you. Not to shrink back. Not to give up. Not to back down. To pass every test. To pass every milestone. Where others gave up and checked out, help me to plow past that. I'll give you all the praise. I will not pop any buttons. I'll not get cocky. I'll not get haughty. I'll not get the fat head. I'll give you all the credit. But would you please help me to pass those tests? Yeah, He's the one that wants us to pass the test. He's not the one that tempts us and tests us with trials. Let no one say when you're tempted, tested, and tried, you're being tempted by God. He tempts no one with evil. Now He'll watch our heart, see how we respond through the circumstances of life. And He gets the biggest pleasure out of people who say, God, I'm trusting you. That's why I like Abraham. I'm trusting you. I'm going to go crank out a baby. And Sarah goes, me too, man. Come on. Yeah, I know, because we got to do it together. Yeah, let's have some babies. He liked it when Noah was going, making this big old ark that no one's ever built before. He likes it that you've taken hold of the gospel and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to give you my entire earthly life. All the way to the end, I'm going to love you, Jesus, with all my heart. And I'm going to believe you for the promises of God to come to pass. I'm going to stay plugged in and I'm not going to forsake assembly. I'm going to stay in fellowship. I'm going to continually devote myself to the Word. I'm going to have fellowship. I'm going to forgive people. When people let me down, which is inevitable that offenses will come, I'm not going to let the devil dominate me. Some of you are in a big test right now. Some people very important to you have let you down. It happens. But what are you going to do? Let it start to build a callus on your soul. Let you cultivate bitterness. I've watched people live a lifestyle of bitterness. And it's hindered many of the breakthrough blessings of God. Got this scripture here. James is saying in the middle of all this patience, don't complain, brethren, against another. Man, we need to be heavy on the forgiveness, prayer, mercy side. Who in here has ever been tested on this and had opportunities for this? Raise your hand real high. Come on, as high as you can. Oh my goodness. Driving to church, I had a guy bearing down on me in this truck, like this far from the back of my car, and I'm driving, I'm already over the speed limit, Broseph. It's amazing. You'll see on your, yeah, we have caller ID now. Oh, that's a, what's that undefined number? What do you, private number, or what's the other one? Yeah, and I go, oh, maybe that's so-and-so. You push the button, it's not so-and-so. Not only is it not so-and-so, it's such-and-such. and such just wanted to call you and unload poison into your head and then put the lid back on. And it's like, whoa! Just when caller ID came, now all of a sudden there's bypass of caller ID. So such and such could get the stuff up in your head so then you could practice all these things that I'm preaching to you. Hallelujah. All of a sudden you're listening now. All of a sudden you go, the farmer stuff is weird. I don't farm. I just go shop. I get my organic groceries at Deerberg's. What are you talking about farming? Okay, all right. But you can relate to the cell phone car deal because it's bearing down on us from all sides. And yet we have to stand and say, Father, having done all to stand, I'm going to stand. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to continue to present myself to you and live as if I'm alive from the dead and I'm no longer my own and I'm bought with a price and I don't count my life as dear to myself that I may fulfill the thing you've called me to do. Yeah. Moms need this. In fact, moms, you are a unique breed. I don't know what it's like being a mom. It's one of the thankless, most difficult, challenging duties of life. But I mean, when you stay with it through the course of time, it must be rewarding. I do believe the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I do believe when mamas pray. I mean, I listen to the country songs. Mama pray. You hear that stuff, the power of a believer that believes God and prays with faith and patience. The just you taking your place and trusting God. I'm telling you. There's a reward for your obedience. There's a reward for you fighting the fight of faith. When you get in the hot temptation, people are murmuring and gossiping and saying things about you. What are you going to do?
I'm going to lash out and defend myself. Wait a minute, you don't understand.
I like what this guy said. Just shut up. Yeah. Sleep on it. Or stay awake all night and think about it and wake up the next morning. Yeah. Just lay there and go. The other day, somebody gave me a pillow that stays cool. So you don't have to flip it. Because I told about how you had to flip. Your head gets so hot, you got to keep flipping your pillow because it gets so hot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Who knows what I'm talking about? Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Man, I got to flip my pillow, man. My head gets so hot. But now I've got a cool pillow. I don't have to flip it anymore. Even though there's plenty of stuff heating up my head, I've got a cool, high-tech pillow. I want to pray for you before we go. By your endurance, you gain your lives. Patience is enduring. Patience is just pressing through. It's just saying, okay, I'm going to forgive that guy that's lying about me at work. I'm going to be merciful to the people that get under my skin, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to trust God to turn this thing around and actually use it for good, because God has a knack for taking everything and working it together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Father, right now I pray. I feel really strong in my heart. I need to pray for you. If you're not a Christian, you need to give your heart to Jesus today. But if you are a believer and you said, man, I have need of patience so that after doing the will of God, I may receive what was promised. Who in here would say, Pastor, my patience, my endurance has been worn down. I'm believing God to strengthen me in this area that I'll be able to move on up in confidence in God and take a fresh stand and not shrink back, not back down, not give up. Who here wants to renew your commitment to trust God for His promises and plans to come to pass? Lift up both hands right now. As you do, I pray that as you renew your commitment, I pray God would meet you right where you're at. I pray there'd be a strengthening of might and power by His Spirit on your inner man. I pray the presence of God and the touch of God would get all over you. I pray God would help you so much. I pray that you would get fortified where you feel like you failed or where you feel like life has dealt you a distorted hand. I pray that you get adjustments, strength, repentance. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. I pray if there's things that if there are things you've lapsed into that you shouldn't be doing, there are things that you've opened up to that are wrong, I pray God would grant you repentance and that you just humble your heart and turn from it with all your might and trust God to bring you into a place of renewal. He makes all things new. And I pray God would strengthen you so much right now in the name of Jesus. Strengthen for the future. Strengthen for the journey, that you would obtain and receive all the promises that God has for you. Thank you, Father, for moving mightily through this people right now. I pray the blessing of the Lord upon them. And God, I pray for the people here who have been so discouraged. I pray people who have the letdowns of life, it's just like they thought it was just enough and then there was one more blow. I pray that they feel like they're past their past their point. I pray that your resurrection power would buoy them up. Put your hands down, everybody's eyes closed. You say, Pastor, I'm in a situation, I think I need prayer. It is extreme. Pray for me. Lift up your hand right now, anybody in the building. I know there's some issues that are so significant right now. I pray right now God will move on your behalf and will stabilize you in that situation. Some of you only you know it and God knows it. Maybe you haven't told anybody, but I'm standing right where I'm at and I'm trusting God to sustain you and stabilize you and bring you through. I thank you, God, for doing a greater work than they ever thought possible. I pray, God, you would strengthen people's faith and stabilize their stand and help them to press on past these troubled points and endure patiently without complaint, without murmuring, without lashing out in their own, taking matters into their own hands. God, we're going to trust you to forgive us where we failed. We're going to trust you to help us to be godly in the situations and to grow in grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the Old Testament, King Solomon said, God has set eternity in our hearts. And what does that mean? That means there's a void on the inside of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where that void comes from, that empty part. Humanity tries to fill it with relationships, with fame, with career moves, with material things, with substance abuse, all kinds of different things, religions. But that's a Jesus-shaped puzzle piece that only He can fill. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through Him. Jesus authentically came to this earth to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. He was our great substitute. He said, look, I'll take your sin, everything that's separating you from a holy God, from my Father, and I will give you my right standing with God. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. It's by grace. So you say, what should I do? That's a great trade. I'm glad you asked. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive the free gift of righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know everything about me. Even though I don't know everything about you, I believe in you. And with all my heart, God, I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, is indeed the Lord. And that through faith in Him, I could have eternal life. God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I trust you. I know, Jesus, when you said it is finished on the cross, that the price was paid, that if I would receive you and confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I would be saved. And that's what I want. So God, right now, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your child. No more running, no more looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation on the inside. And that's instantaneous. That's a brand new person. You've been born anew by the Spirit. But now there's something called follow through. And I want to encourage you on a couple of high points. There's a book called the Bible. Go to it and read it. Read the Psalms when you're discouraged. Read Proverbs when you need guidance. Read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts of Jesus' life so you can experience Him and come to understand His ways. Read the what they call the epistles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read the whole New Testament. Read the Bible. It will enrich your life in a phenomenal way. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's also this item called prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's engaging in interaction. It's not just a monologue. It's interacting with God from your heart to His heart. Now that you're saved, you can actually draw near to Him and have access with Him. And I want to encourage you to experience that constantly. Another place to beat a bath to is a good fellowship. Find a good church. There are life-giving churches all over the place. Find one that lifts up Jesus, preaches the Bible, a place where it's healthy, where there's a vision for impacting the world, and go there and stay plugged in. Also, the great engaging thing to do is serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Get involved with servanthood, and man, you'll just be refreshed as you volunteer and plug in and give the best you have for His purposes. Speaking of giving, learn to tithe and give offerings and give of your finances to the vision of that church you go to. God wants to bless you, and there's something powerful about being a giver. It breaks the stingy, greedy tendencies that we have, and it also honors God as we give of our finances, of our time, of our prayer, of our time to read the Word. I just want to encourage you, lastly, to also go tell somebody what's happened. That's called evangelism in the Bible. It's just really sharing good news, but just keep it real. And God bless you in your pursuit of Jesus and His perfect will for your life.